Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys. Super Tuesday edition of the show. So in this particular hour, a rarity. I agree with the Will Pelagic on something here. Today's a different perspective, and glad to be joining you on your program. I agree with Will on something that I'm going to get to in this hour. An idea for college football and why Clemson is now primetime all the time in college football. Then, in the 3 o'clock hour today, if you are a Braves fan, you're not going to want to miss this. We will unmask the mystery man known as the Freeze. We will identify him because he is joining the show at 3 p.m. today. And at 3:40, Taylor Estes. Taylor Estes will join the show. She was at Texas and LSU. What does she take away from that? We will also play some word association with Taylor coming up at 3:20 this afternoon. Okay, so Josh Belk is one of these guys, and, you know, I have a proclivity to disagree with him because he is one of those guys, former Clemson player, transfers to South Carolina, quit the team in February. He criticized the team, the South Carolina Gamecocks because he said the coaches threatened to take his scholarship away if he didn't lift weights while dealing with a back injury. Now, normally, you would say that's a front-page story, right? Oh, my God, that is a serious accusation. But this is a person, this is a player that is notorious for kind of, for lack of a better term, phrase, throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it sticks, right? I'm not going to say the guy's lying. I don't know enough to know about it. It just seemed like much ado about nothing to me. And that's why I haven't talked about it up until this point. U of SC, which I'm still getting used to saying, South Carolina is better. You can give the Trojans USC in Los Angeles, and that's fine with me. We don't need to be fighting over that. The University of South Carolina came out with the following statement. We're committed to providing all of our student athletes with high-quality, comprehensive health care from nationally recognized surgeons and athletic trainers. Additionally, as stated in the Gamecock Student Athlete Promise, all athletically related scholarships provided to incoming freshmen are four-year agreements, and coaches cannot withdraw scholarships due to medical reasons. Given federal HIPAA laws, the university cannot comment about medical treatments or issues with any specific student athlete. Do I think it's possible that a trainer, threw out a threat in passing? Hey, man, you better bust that tail. Wouldn't want to lose your scholarship. Wouldn't want to lose your scholarship. Do I think that's sometimes used as a motivational tactic to some people? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do believe it's used as a motivational tactic. But again, the reputation for one Josh Belk, and thankfully, Lonzo, I'm happy that he's not in the room to face me with this, because that is a big boy right there. That is a really big boy. The reputation kind of precedes him here in terms of what he's done in the past, in terms of the things that he's said in the past. And I'm not really taking this overly seriously, if I'm honest with you. I mean, I don't view that as a serious allegation against South Carolina, nor do I feel the school is taking that allegation seriously. I think they're smart to come out. I think they're smart to reveal their statement, which is what they've done, that, agreement, coaches cannot withdraw scholarships due to medical reasons. And who knows if in passing a trainer said something to Josh Bellick. I just think, I don't know, big deal, little deal, or no deal. I think this falls in the no deal category, Lonzo, which is why I haven't brought it up till now.
This is the first I've heard of it. So I'd definitely say it's a no deal. If it was a big deal, we'd be hearing about it everywhere.
I did hear about it. I heard about it. I heard about it over the weekend. You know, I saw it. I saw it in passing. You know, Josh Bellick was saying it in a way like, we're going to bring the program down with this bombshell news, right? And I don't see it as such. If a trainer is saying anything like that in passing to players, they shouldn't.
Did you see it on national sports news?
I don't remember where
see,
I saw
because
it.
That's the thing. If it makes national, then it's a big story. If it doesn't, it's just local and it's just sour grapes.
You know what's a big deal? And this is where Will Muschamp gets into trouble with me, honestly. His defense of DJ Durkin, the Maryland head coach whose policies resulted in the death of a player a year ago. You know, DJ Durkin would call his players the P word during practice. There was a culture there of intimidation and fear. And I thought, personally speaking, it was a bad look for Will Muschamp to get up in front of the microphone and defend a guy that he worked with, that he employed during his days at the University of Florida. I just think that's a bad look, man. That's a bad dude who does things the wrong way. Maryland opted to keep him, and then given public pressure that president folded like a tent being attacked by a bear and immediately fired DJ Durkin after that. But I thought the fact that Muschamp came out in defense of him was not a great look. I'm not really a proponent of Josh Bellick, his decision to go to South Carolina, how he carried himself since arriving at South Carolina, and then with the accusation at South Carolina. I think more is being made out of it than is really there. If I'm honest with you, I really do. That is legitimately how I feel. I think it's a good time to refresh our audience, Lonzo, that you and I have something significant on the line here. You and I are doing what we're calling Wise Guys Wisdom, which on Friday, each and every Friday, Lonzo and I will be making our Super Six picks. In a segment we're calling Wise Guys Wisdom, the biggest six games of the weekend, just winners for the weekend. And thus far in the season, Lonzo is 9-3 and I am 8-4. Something that Lonzo really, really, really wants you to know. He wants you to be aware of this fact. The loser of this bet, Lonzo, the loser of this bet, he who falls short has to do what?
To sport that Aaron Rodgers mustache for an entire week. And you can't like hide in your apartment or anything like that. You have to go out in public, which you'd have to do to come here. So, yeah.
Wear it for a week. You can't just hide here in the studio either. That's the problem with this, man. You can't just hide here in the studio. There's really no getting away. Really no getting away. You know, it was, for me, it was a really entertaining week one of the NFL. Honestly, I was watching it with a great level of interest. It's the first year in a long time that I don't think we've been distracted by politics, that I don't think we've been distracted with kneeling for the national anthem and everything that goes with that. That to me is a welcome change where the focus is just on football everywhere but Miami, where the focus is on tanking for Tua, right? Tua Tagovailoa in the draft. It's the wrong year to be doing that, man. You want to do that next year with tanking for Trevor, right? Not this year tanking for Tua. I think that's who's to say how Tua is even going to be at the next level. I think that's far from a sure thing, his dominance at that particular level. I really do.
You know, my biggest takeaway from this first week is how strong the AFC looks, and the NFC is like one team, maybe. Dallas looks like the toughest team in the NFC. The AFC, look at what Baltimore did. Look at what Kansas City did. Look what the Patriots did. I mean, the AFC looks really good. Who are your top four teams in the NFC right now?
Well, you know, I was arguing that the Panthers could be the third best team in the NFC this year after the Rams and the Saints. Both of those teams won. Neither of those teams looked impressive, right? So was the battle between the Rams and the Panthers actually the battle between the first or second and third best team in the SEC this year? I think you make a great point. I think the Dallas Cowboys take a big step up this year. I think the Cowboys, from what I saw in game one, they're a 12-4 team. I think Kellen Moore is the difference. I think the Dallas Cowboys have found their Ryan Day. I think they've found their Lincoln Riley. But in terms of some of the teams that won, though, Lonzo, Baltimore Ravens, contender or pretender?
After 1 week, I would say contender.
I would say pretender. I don't think that roster is a contender. I think the Miami Dolphins have quit, right? I think they've quit. Minnesota Vikings, contender or pretender?
Pretender.
I
Kirk Cousins is still the quarterback. He will show everybody who he is.
I'm going to say they move up to the ranks of contender this year. I really, really do. Philadelphia Eagles, contender or pretender?
They're contenders as long as Wentz stays healthy.
Are they really? Are they, though? Seattle Seahawks, contender or pretender? See what I mean? This is tough.
It is.
This is not easy.
It is. My first reaction is pretender. But again, I have biases. I don't like Seattle, so.
Why?
I just don't.
Do you have a bogus reason for this, just like you not liking the Saints after they got calls after Katrina?
See, that was a reason. At least that was a reason. I don't have a reason for Seattle. I just don't like them.
Okay. Folks, we will move on to the ideas portion of the program coming your way next, where I will tell you that in a very rare instance, I agree wholeheartedly with something Will Pelagic has said recently on Straight Up with Sturge. And on this particular topic, he and I not only are the minority, we might be the only ones in existence saying what we're saying. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to have you with us. Super Tuesday edition of the show. Always grateful for you. Okay, so I've been enjoying the work Will Pelagic is doing on Straight Up with Sturge. I find him to be interesting, entertaining, and incredibly knowledgeable on sports in this area. And when I knew we needed a host to fill in when Sturge had his unfortunate situation, I immediately thought of Will because I know how knowledgeable he is about South Carolina sports. The guy does his homework. He's been here for 3 years. He does a really, really nice job. All that is to say that I find that of most hosts that I know, I perhaps disagree with what Will says more than just about everyone else, which makes for some interesting commentary whenever he and I are in here together, right? You'll hear Lonzo say sometimes, I wish I disagreed with you here, Mark, because I think it would make for more interesting radio. Unfortunately, I don't. Unfortunately, I'm right along with you here. Will and I, you don't even have to try. Like 90% of the things out of his mouth, I am dead set against, and I would venture to guess that to him it is probably close to the same thing, and that's okay, right? Reasonable minds can differ. That there's absolutely no doubt about that. But Will has, I don't know if I would say he's been on a crusade here, but he's been outspoken about it, and I do not think this is a take that I've shared here. But not only do I agree with him completely, I have the system that will replace it. And this is something that I've said for years on the air. Are you ready? Here we go. Kicking at all levels should be removed from the game of football. Lonzo, you haven't heard me say that yet, have you? Have you heard me say that in my 7.5 months here? I don't believe you have. But it's something I feel strongly about.
Say, I try to forget most of the things you say.
Thank you, thank you.
But I don't recall you saying that, no.
This is the guy, Lonzo, who says, I play video games to get away from the idea of you, right? Kicking to me should not be part of the game of football. Kicking to Will Polajic should not be part of the game of football. He can best describe to you why he feels that way. Here's why I feel that way. It has absolutely nothing to do with the game being played, and it decides everything. It decides everything. You know, it's ridiculous even to the point that in the movie Coming to America with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall, when describing the game of football, they speak to kicking because of its ridiculousness. They describe kicking as quote, you kick an oblong ball of pigskin into a big H, through a big H. That's how they describe kicking. It's a ridiculous act to take place. Has nothing to do with the game being played. It decides everything. And I've had a problem with this, folks, from the beginning. Are you with me on the problem with kicking? Or do we just accept it because we don't like change and kicking's always been a part of the game and therefore we should always have kicking as part of the game? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. I'm not a big fan of how specialist a league the NFL has become. Now we have designated long snappers that are one of the 53. That's all the long snapper does is snap the ball. But because that's all he does, he can do it better than anyone else. Not a fan of that position. Now, why is it? Now, if you're thinking big picture, why isn't it that if you're going to have a kicker, why can't a kicker both kick and punt? You know why? Because the punter spends 24/7, 365 doing only that. The kicker spends 24/7, 365 doing only that. They've basically created monopolies for themselves and had a handshake agreement. Hey, I won't practice kicking if you don't practice punting. Deal? Let's create two positions for ourselves on the field of 53. Nothing to do with the game being played decides everything. As a matter of fact, if football had been played differently without field goals this entire time, the entire time of its existence, think about how absurd you would feel about it if it had never existed. Hey, you know, I know we've handled everything on the field of play between the teams, but now what we're going to do is we're going to take a non-football player and we're going to have him kick the ball through this creation that we're going to make that we put in behind the end zone. Let's have him do that, because this guy that has nothing to do with the game being played deserves to decide the outcome of the game, right? He deserves to decide the outcome of the game. We saw it last night in Monday Night Football. We saw it last night, Rams and Texans. Will Lutz, 58-yard field goal. Missed a 56-yarder, I think, right before half. Made a 58-yarder to end the game. Has nothing to do with the game being played. Decides everything. So, all of this brings me to my solution to the problem. And I'm going to need to ask you for your open mind, because I'm going to need to appeal to your open mind. This is multifaceted, and this has been my opinion for a number of years. If you are going to allow kicking and punting to exist in the game of football, you can only punt with one of your defensive starters. Okay? Now think about this. Think about this for a minute. It would prevent you from having a punting specialist. You have to punt with a player who's one of your 11 defensive starters, right? And number two, it would decrease the frequency of punting. Isn't going for fourth downs exciting? Well, if your punter can only punt 25 to 30 yards, guess what you're going to be doing a lot more of? You're going to be going for it. You're going to be going for it significantly more. Likewise, on the offensive side of the ball, if you're going to kick field goals, it needs to be a starter on your offense. So you can't just have a kicking specialist. Can you imagine if we're going to line our kicker up at tight end, what that would look like? You know, it has to be a regular starter for you on the field. What would that result in? fewer field goal attempts, right? Because the guy's not going to be nearly as accurate. And if he's only good from 35 yards, you're going to have less field goals, fewer field goals, and more teams going for it on fourth down. But that would be my backup plan, because I hate kicking and punting at all levels in the National Football League. At all levels in high school, college, and the National Football League. That would be my backup plan. Here would be my plan that's the ace in the hole, okay? I'm getting rid of kicking altogether. No kicking, no punting whatsoever. If you make it to the opponent's 20-yard line, okay, keep in mind that extra points are made right now at a 92% clip, okay? So making it to the 20-yard line would be about an 89 or 90% clip. That's a 37-yard field goal. If you make it to the opponent's 20-yard line, you're awarded 3 points. If you make it to the opponent's 20, you're awarded 3 points. You then have the option of keeping the 3 points or risking it and going for the full 7. That is what I propose, okay? That is what I think makes football better. Think of how fun the game would be if you have a pass complete to the 17-yard line, and now the coach has to decide, am I going to take the 3 points or am I going to go for the full 7, risking the 3? If I don't get the 7, I lose the 3 that I just earned. Isn't that more compelling than watching a field goal kicker go out for a kick that you already know he's going to make? Doesn't that make the game more interesting, more compelling to you? Guess how many points an NFL team scores per average possession in a game? You know how many points they score? 2. The average possession in the NFL, the average team scores 2 points. Average NFL team scores 24 points a game. There's an average of 12 possessions a game. So a field goal is only slightly better than a typical possession for you anyway. Get it out. Get it out of the game. It has nothing to do with the game being played. Oh, but Mark Ryan, you are fundamentally changing the game of football. You're fundamentally changing the way it's always been. Yeah, and I'm making it better. I'm making it more interesting, more compelling. And again, I think it's something that you would find more compelling to watch. Lonzo, I'd love your take on this lunacy.
All right, first of all, I'm shocked by you and Will. I would think you guys would adhere to this all-inclusive society that we exist in today.
That's not me,
and
brother.
So you're trying to eliminate the less fortunate, the unathletic, away from this wonderful sport we call football and not let them be able to participate. That's just horrible. It really is. You guys are bad people. And
now that said, I completely agree with you.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay. Yeah, kickers, I mean, come on. It does ruin football.
Are you serious? You agree with this?
Yes, of course I agree with this. I've said this for years. Kickers are useless. It slows down the game. There's just so much. And for the most part, those guys just sit over there on the sideline. They're on their own island.
What do they have to do with anything? No one talks to them. They're not part of the team.
I think this is part of soccer players trying to infiltrate the best game in the entire world. They felt like, okay, football, American football is better than soccer, so we'll find a way to ruin it if we can by putting our players into the game. That's what I think it is.
You and I were at Carolina Panthers training camp, and I can't remember the name of the Panthers punter off the top of my head right now, but he and Graham Gano, before he was placed on IR, and Joey Sly is now the kicker for the Panthers, they were hanging out together all by themselves, all in a lonesome, just looking like they were farting around, doing nothing while the rest of the team was practicing. And that was the most recent time before I heard Will go in on it, where I'm saying to myself, like, what are these guys really doing for the team here? What does this have to do with a game of football?
See, I'm trying to look back in my football career. I can't remember the guy in college. I can't. I remember my high school punter because he also was the starting tight end and the starting defensive end. And he was like 6'4 and about 240. That's a big punter. And going along with what you were saying, having a starter do that, then I can see there are guys that are capable of doing that, and that would be awesome. Now, as far as getting three when you get to the 20, I don't know about that, because I think a lot of coaches will say, okay, I'm just going to take the three. So what happens after that? Do you kick the ball back to the other team?
Do you think Lincoln Riley or Ryan Day would take the three? I don't. You if you don't get it, then you give up the ball on – listen, here's why you would go for it. You're inside the 20, right? You don't get fourth down. Let's say you make it to the 8-yard line. You give up the ball at the 8-yard line. Now the other team's got to go 92 yards for the
score.
All right. You see what I'm saying? So therein lies my solution. I would take kicking out altogether, Lonzo, and I would say if you're going to punt the ball on fourth down, it needs to be a defensive starter. You know, that prevents this specialist – you know, who was the guy from the Rams? Decker from the Rams on Sunday that was booming 65-yard punts can do nothing else on the football field. But we have attached a howitzer to this guy's left leg, and he just booms the ball out of the stadium.
Can do nothing else. This is where I have a problem with what you're talking about. I completely agree with kickers, but as far as punters goes, there have been some really big punters in the NFL. Some were taking PEDs to get that way, but there were some really big punters in the NFL and still are, because the punter also has to go downfield and make a tackle a lot of times. The kicker tries to throw his body in front of someone. So you get rid of the field goal and you get rid of the point after, I'm good with that. But I say the punter, you leave them in there, because the punter, I think, is more of a football player than a kicker.
Well, I think they're more a part of the game, but it's like I don't know, man. It's like it's kind of like you know, in the equality society, kickers would be saying, "What about us? We actually score. Punters don't. What are you going to do?" So again, I can't even believe this is happening. I mean, Will and I agreeing on something is rare enough. Then, whereas I've been killed for this idea in the past, Lonzo, to have you on board mostly is really insane. So that everyone is clear with my solution to this, I'm removing kickers and punters from the NFL. I'm taking the field goal off the football field. The only thing it's good for is getting torn down after unexpected wins anyway, right? No field goals in any game of football for me. If you want to punt, it has to be done by one of your defensive starters. And the scoring system would work as follows. Make it to the 20-yard line, you get 3 points. Conditionally, you can keep the 3 points, or you can risk it and go for the touchdown. If you go for the touchdown and don't get it, you lose the 3 points, and the other team turns the ball over on downs where you get the ball, right? Okay, a texter says the following. I'm in two fantasy football leagues. We remove kickers from both. However, I still like the kicker in the actual game. I don't know how anyone can like the idea that a player that has nothing to do with the actual game being played is deciding everything. I don't know how anyone could possibly enjoy that or like that. Am I in an island here, folks? I mean, you guys tell me. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. I've been in a mood to make things better today. I've been in a mood of change today, to look at what we've had and to make it better. And I'll stick with that theme coming up next, because I've got an idea for what is just and deserved in college football. That is next. And this is Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Will Polacek on the road calling in an agreement of what we were saying. And it's not common for Will and I to agree on something so out there, but it is absolutely positively the truth. Look, if you agree or disagree with what we're saying, would love to hear from you, because it's out there. And I think a lot of times, oh, no, Alonzo agrees with them, and Mark agrees, and Will agrees, and everybody's disagreeing with me. People think it's nuts. People don't like change. I have friends that hate the fact that the NFL changed the extra point to move it back. I have friends that absolutely hate that. And I love the new extra point. Previously, kickers were making the extra point at a rate of 99.7%. I'm not a fan of wasting time, are you? The extra point was a waste of time. Now it's 92%. So, you know, I mean, 8 times out of 100, the kickers are missing these things. It at least makes you watch. Last night in Monday Night Football, the Texans missed the extra point that would have given them the lead, but then they got a second chance at it with a questionable roughing the kicker call. So, look, I think, I think a lot of these ideas are really kind of interesting, and I think they carry water. I really, really do. In any case, I do also want to get to this. I was thinking about this the other day because somebody threw something at me. And when we talk about soccer in this country, right, we've got our Major League Soccer fans. We've got our Team USA fans, our U.S. Women's National Team fans, and so on and so forth. And, you know, one of the things that would increase the level of respect for the leagues that we have in this country is if they were like the European leagues from head to toe. Part of that exists in the European soccer leagues is a system called promotion and relegation. What is that, Lonzo?
It's where if you do really good, you move up. If you do really bad, you move down to the lower leagues.
You know how you know that? Because I shared that with you a few months ago, and you remembered it.
Yeah, I actually paid attention.
I was quizzing you on that.
Yeah, see me over here working on something else, and you're like, I'm going to get them, and you didn't.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to nail you on that. I believe, folks, it is time for promotion and relegation in college football. I believe because it is so advantageous to be in a Group of Five conference. I believe that you should have to earn your keep to remain in those conferences. I really do. The little guys, the Group of Five teams, are pining at the chance to get into the Power Five conferences. Okay? So, Mark Ryan, look, the other day, maybe you're listening to the show right now and saying, Mark, this is proof as to what happens when kids use drugs at young ages, and I'm listening to that proof right now. You are not making any sense today. I think this makes college football better, folks. I really, really do. I think accessibility gives other programs hope, makes college football more interesting, makes college football more compelling. So here's what I propose, all right? Over a 3-year period, the last place teams, the teams in each Power Five league that have had the overall worst records, would be demoted to a Group of Five conference. And the best five Group of Five teams would be promoted to a Power Five conference. All right? And here is what I'm talking about with this. Here is how this would work today. The likes of Kansas, 1-8 last year in the Big 12, Rutgers, 0-9 in the Big 10, Oregon State, 1-8 in the Pac-12, Illinois, and then perhaps the likes of Louisville and or Vanderbilt, who, you know, is in a friends with benefits relationship with the SEC. They increase the SEC's academic standing and they get the athletic reputation boost of playing in the Southeastern Conference. They contribute nothing really to the SEC on the football field whatsoever. So I am relegating Kansas, Rutgers, Oregon State, Illinois, Louisville or Vanderbilt from the major conferences. I'm sending them on their way. They'll have a chance to earn their way back in. But in the meantime, I think the following schools have really earned their shot. And I'm talking about, of course, Cincinnati, BYU, UCF, Memphis, and Boise State. Those are my five. Don't worry, Diesel. Appalachian State was my next school. They were the next little guy that I was considering there. But for starters, Cincinnati, BYU, UCF, Memphis, and Boise State. Those would be the five that would earn their way to as a promotion to the Power Five conferences, okay? Then, through your performance, you earn the right to stay or you earn the right to be demoted again. Folks, is that not change we can believe in? Is that not change that you feel would be exciting? I mean, think about how little chance the little guy has today. UCF goes undefeated. They can't play in the college football playoff. And they're the best case scenario. If you're not the best case scenario, what is the hope for you? If you play for North Texas and you see that UCF can't they've reached the pinnacle. UCF can't even schedule Power Five major conference opponents because they won't give them a one-for-one trade in terms of the games being played, right? It is a real, real challenge for the likes of UCF to be able to compete. They're doing everything they can. This year they're playing Stanford. This year they're playing Pittsburgh. Those were the best two programs that would play them, right? And those two teams, and I predict this week it'll be the case for UCF, Stanford's going to take it on the chin in Orlando this week. They're absolutely going to do that. So what say you to my idea, promotion and relegation, from the Power Five to from the Group of Five to the Power Five? Should there be a vehicle in which the Group of Five can access the Power Five through their performance? And if you're in the Power Five, should you just be grandfathered into that league forever, or should you have to earn your keep? I'm all about earning your keep, folks. I think it's a great idea. I'm Mark Ryan, and I approve this message. Your thoughts on this, welcome. Coming up next, why Clemson is now primetime all the time. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. Quick check on the text line. Louisville doesn't contribute to the SEC because they're not in the SEC. Yeah, I never said they were, sir. I said Louisville or Vanderbilt as the final one that would be relegated. So I've got on the text line, you know, and this happens in sports radio sometimes. You have wants to correct you guy on the text line. He says New Orleans played Texans, not the Rams. Did I ever say that New Orleans
you
played
did.
The Rams?
You did. You've made a couple mistakes today, but I didn't correct you on purpose because I wanted to see if the listeners were paying attention.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I said they played the Rams. I must have been thinking back to the NFC Championship game.
You were also talking about the NFL, and you called it the SEC. But again, I'm not correcting you today.
Bizarro world.
That way the texters can do it.
Man, this is bizarro world, man. My bad. Sorry about that. Okay. Clemson, in my opinion, is now primetime all the time. They're now primetime all the time in football. And the proof of that to me, and the proof as to what the ACC network is going to do for college football and the ACC moving forward, is what we're seeing now in terms of scheduling. Lonzo has been laughing at me, I'll be honest with you folks, because he sees me having to do a pregame show for games like when Clemson plays Charlotte at 7 a.m., which would mean a 5:30 a.m. wake-up call to get there on time. But the reality is we're getting these game schedules, and Clemson and Charlotte is scheduled for 7:30. Clemson is 19-2 against ranked opponents over the past five seasons, 14-5 against the SEC. They just ended their streak of 11 straight victories by 20 points or more, which was the second longest streak since 1936 to Alabama. Clemson, folks, truly has become primetime all the time. Primetime all the time. No reason to put them on noon games anymore. It'll be interesting to see if they have won between now and the end of the season. Coming your way next, he is perhaps the best in-game entertainment in professional sports, and he'll join us live when Offsides with Mark Ryan continues, ESPN Upstate.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.